Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's our weekly opportunity to talk with Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons about, well, whatever. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, pretty much
advice
anything, right?
On life and...
Do you have some?
Well, no. Very little.
I'd be curious.
Don't follow my advice.
You know, you're the sheriff. You live a pretty good life. You teach the, you know, you do the Blazer Academy and all that. I mean, that might be something interesting.
You would hope, right?
What's that?
You would hope that I'd have some
knowledge. You were a coach in sports and all. You know, I know you know stuff. Maybe some other time. I'll let you mull it over, because that can be kind of fun. Like life tips with Sheriff Simmons. I kind of like that.
I'm willing to give them.
I know you would be. I like that. All right. Let's talk about some of the incidents that have taken place in the last week in Escambia County. We had a 34-year-old Escambia County man charged with homicide after allegedly stabbing, I think, Kyle Alexander. I don't know if that's the victim or the person being charged in Ensley home.
Friends of a man say, hey, they haven't seen him in a while. So they go to the apartment where he lives, or the house that he lives in, and find him deceased. They call us up, and we find a male that had been looked like he had been stabbed a couple times in the neck. The investigation revealed. And like all good detectives, we start to look at the roommate first. And then we find out that someone had taken the
victim's car.
How long
had he been there? I mean, this is...
I want to say about 10 days or so.
Oh, so a long time. This is into decomposition.
There was some advanced decomposition.
Okay, all right. This was not like an hour. This is
a
while.
No,
okay.
No. So the victim's car was gone. And so, again, we look at where's the roommate.
Yeah.
Because we can't seem to find a roommate. Ultimately, we discovered the roommate had fled to Okaloosa County. We worked with... the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office was able to pick up the roommate who still had the victim's car and ultimately charged him with a homicide.
Okay, and do we have a motive? Do we know anything at this point?
Not really. They had been roommates for about 10 years.
They really knew each other a long time. Okay.
Yeah, from I think, California.
Okay.
They came to Pensacola.
Okay, all right. We also had on Courier Place on Friday, we had a suspect found dead in a vehicle. Is that right?
That is correct. So... The day before that, we had a suspicious circumstances type call where witnesses say, hey, they saw this guy, the ultimate victim in this case, get into a car with some other gentlemen, and there looked like it was a disturbance inside that car, and they thought they heard a gunshot. And then the car sped away. So we had been...
With everybody in it?
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone was still in the vehicle. So we put the victim out as a person because we weren't sure exactly what the circumstances were. Come to find out throughout the investigation, the victim was meeting some people for a drug transaction and a disturbance that was witnessed by others took place in the car. And ultimately, we found the car the very next day. Unfortunately, it had the body of the victim in it. Looked to be a single gunshot wound was the cause of death. Obviously, homicide investigations have taken place, and we do have some information, but we have not yet made an arrest in the case.
Okay, and just checking my legal knowledge here, I know it may or may not be relevant here, but if you go to a drug deal and somebody winds up getting shot, that's a murder one, right? Because it's a felony related
death during the commission of a felony. It's a lot of things. It's simply
even
murder.
If it were self-defense. I mean, even if it were under the circumstances, arguably self-defense.
I guess it depends.
Okay.
Under the circumstances. That's why we're still investigating, trying to figure out exactly what took place inside that car, because it was more than two people in the car.
Okay.
So, we're looking to talk to everyone that was involved in that car, and if any other witnesses were present then, or if they know what happened, whenever they dropped the car off. Who picked them up when they dropped that car off?
And I do want to just mention this because it's so regularly misstated in television and movies. I want to make sure we say this as many times as we can. You were following up on a missing persons case at this point immediately.
Right.
The time to wait to ask for a missing persons investigation is zero time.
Yeah, there's no 24 hours. You got to wait 24 hours. And plus, this had a suspicious...
Right, with the altercation in the car.
So we obviously thought, oh, we're concerned. This person may well be in danger. So we put that out as quick as we can because we did have a vehicle description, and we were hoping that someone would let us know and we could stop that car while it's still moving.
Right.
And again, we didn't know that anyone was injured at the time, although we were concerned.
You guys, you're very active on social media. You know, we've talked about how you will respond to false posts, clarify things. Last week we had this one about the parking incident out on the beach. But also you had put out a thing last week. I think it the top of it was like a 3X. There were three updates or three related updates, and it had to do with the reports of a kidnapping, I think a child in Perdido Key. And you, yes. But you guys were trying to be clear about what you did and did not know, right?
Well, all these things happened on a Friday. You know, we had a car found, and we had the missing person from the night before.
Okay.
We had a Facebook post, and then ultimately a police report done on it. Again, I call it a suspicious incident that took place. So the witness says that they saw what they thought was a child, potentially at a bus stop, struggling with an individual, placed into a car against their will, and then sped off. And so we took the report. We had our deputies, you know, canvass the area looking for videos. We contacted the school district, obviously, to make sure that the individuals that would be picked up at that bus stop all were at school.
Yeah.
And that was done. This was all done within the first 30 minutes of the seeing this post, even before the police report was done, before someone contacted us with it. So, we have nothing to indicate that anything happened. We have no report of a crime. We have no report of anyone missing. But we're not saying that something didn't happen. What we're saying is we have nothing to go on. We have, again, we've canvassed area for any video. No one has video. We've checked the bus stop. There was nothing going on with the children that would be at that bus stop. And so that's all we have. And so what we wanted to do is put this information out and not get one connected to the other.
Especially when you have three different cases,
all
crimes, all kind of possible.
And then someone posted a picture of a looked like a maroon car with someone just getting out of the car. So we actually had like four things, and people were wondering if that video that was posted was what the people in Perdido were, the individual in Perdido was talking about. No, that happened a week earlier. That had already been investigated. We talked to the victim in that case, and they don't want to do anything. So a disturbance is all we'll call that. And then this one at Perdido. So there's a lot of conversation about, sheriff's office don't believe it. We're not in a position not to believe it. There's no reason for them to make this up. So, but we did do some investigating, and perhaps it was either a misunderstanding or, an incident that someone, the victim in it, does not want to.
Is it? I know it's illegal to file a false report.
Correct.
Is it illegal to post an allegation about a crime that's false?
If you knew it's false, if you know it to be false, I don't know that it's illegal. You're not reporting it to law enforcement authorities. Heck, people make posts that are ultimately not true all the time.
I know.
I don't know if there's enough police to do anything with that.
How many cops can you hire, right? But the other question I have is, so you guys monitor social media a lot. Do you just have, like, people whose whole job is to sit online and scroll around and look and catch posts? And I mean, how does that work exactly? Because it's I'm fairly active on social media, but I miss a lot of things. I have a lot of people send me stuff, you know what I'm saying? But even there, I don't see everything. How does that, how do you monitor? Because I think about threats that get made. I think about claims that get made. I think about, all the different social circles on social media that do not all interact with each other particularly. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you do that?
Well, I think it's like you said. We want to be open and transparent with the community, and we want them to be able to call us. And even if you don't call us on the phone, even if you don't make official police report, if you see something that's wrong, maybe a child abuse or something, you would give us a call. We want to know that information. So to your answer your question, we do have a couple people who monitor that, but it's really not necessary. People will call us.
They'll tell you.
And let me know. And I get messages all the time. Have you seen this? Have you seen this? And, I mean, days later, I'll get messages, and we had already posted updates, and we'd already done this. But I don't know that I mind that. I mean, I think that the fact that
you'd rather have 50 reports than none, right?
Yeah, and we want the reputation, and it's true that we want people to be able to call us and say, hey, what about this case? What about that case? And we want people to know that we've looked into that. We want people to be updated on certain issues. Now, we can't do them all. I've noticed some things. What was going on? It looked like I saw a UFO, or I looked like a loud bang in the other day, And we don't go back and research all of those things, because that would take hours. It would take all of our time. But if there's something suspicious like that, we certainly, the first time we look at it is, hey, let's look into this, because time is of the essence.
Yeah.
And I think we have a pretty good working relationship with the community.
Absolutely. And I will say the times when I have seen a thing and I have reached out to, you know, you or Andy Hobbs or Tommy Leiter, it has never yet happened where they're like, oh, no, I hadn't seen that. Yeah, it's always you guys are already well aware and have been for a while. You know, I'm the late one to the party, if anything. So, you know, I know you guys are very, very aggressive and, you know, very well informed about this stuff. You had the first class, not first maybe, but second maybe, civilian firearms training class, safety class?
Yeah, we got a state grant, I guess about a year ago or so, that allows us to fund a civilian firearms training. It's about the same time that they legalized the concealed carry.
Okay, the permitless concealed carry.
Or constitutional carry, whatever you want to refer to it as. They also allocated some money to train people that might be uncomfortable or feel uncomfortable with a firearm. So we opened this up. This is the second class, and we'll probably have at least one more for anyone that maybe never thought to carry concealed because they weren't comfortable with a gun, didn't know what kind of gun, didn't really again, that level of comfort and ability to carry and know how to use it. So we're doing it. It's actually pretty popular, and I think it's a service to people that a lot of people already know, certainly military already know how to handle a weapon, but we want to make that available to others that might not feel so comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, and it's this one was taught in by Lieutenant Drew Kilgren, who, of course, took me through the shoot house. Great guy. I was very impressed with the variety and diversity of people who were taking the class, black, white, male, female, old, young. Like, it was a tremendous variety. And it's stuff you might not even think of. I ran into this. I had somebody who was relatively elderly and had bought a semi-automatic, a SIG, and was asking me how to use it. And I was showing him, and just the physicality of loading rounds into the magazine and then the physicality of knowing how to, you know, rack the slide and all this stuff, it was a lesson to me about how, no, you really ought to have a revolver. And that kind of stuff, when people don't know the terrain or aren't familiar, taking a class like yours might expose them to different kinds of weapons and help them figure out what to buy when you might not even realize, well, this is a good gun, I should buy this gun. Yeah, but if you can't use it, it's not any use to you.
Well, there's everything. There's a trigger pull.
Right.
The ability to push, pull the slide back, to lock it back. There's a lot of things that people probably watch TV think you just point and shoot and that sort of thing. And that's why I said sometimes a revolver. But even a revolver, are you going to cock it first, or are you going to just go with just a straight out pull trigger pull? Because that's a little more difficult to pull. And sometimes when you mentioned someone that may be elderly, they may not have the hand strength.
Exactly.
The dexterity that is required to handle.
And nobody. And if you're not familiar with guns, you don't think about that. You just, I'll go buy a gun. I'll be good. Well, it's not quite that simple.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you on the subject. I've had two things I've been asked to ask you about. One is aftermarket exhausts. We were just looking up this up today, but the law says you cannot have an exhaust on your car that or truck that is louder than the manufacturer, which means they're all illegal. But how do you enforce that? Come on. I mean, that's – how many cops do you have?
It has to be pretty bad, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, our priority is drugs and fentanyl and violent crime. Those are priorities of ours.
Key problems.
Right. And when I went to the Board of County Commissioners, I need deputies. I didn't say I need deputies for exhaust enforcement.
Right.
But I will tell you that we do that. We do exhaust. We do window tint. We do tag lights. We do that type of enforcement. The Highway Patrol typically handles those types of – they do the roadways. We kind of have an agreement where they do that.
You do yours, we'll do ours.
And we'll handle the calls for service. But we do that, and it would have to be pretty loud because I think there's a decibel level in that. And it's just – I don't know that it's practical for 20 deputies a day to be stopping every car that's got a loud muffler.
Right. I agree, but it's – there's the law, and then what can be enforced.
So if you're out there, and you're listening, and you're revving that thing up really loud, and you're wondering, and you're zooming by a sheriff's deputy, and you get stopped, that's your own fault.
That's on you. Yeah, that's right.
Don't call me up on social media and complain.
The other one I want to ask you about, we've been talking with Sheriff Johnson about this. We talk a lot about concealed carry. I just think it's a really important subject for people to understand. You, I think, have a slightly different take on the law, though, and that's why I wanted to clarify. In a car, you obviously cannot have a gun sitting on the dashboard or sitting on your lap, or even if you have a concealed carry permit, you cannot have it sitting in the passenger seat. But what about in the door wall or under your seat or in the glove box?
It used to be where before this constitutional carry law, it used to be, two movements or holstered and snapped in a center console or in a compartment of some sort, so you can't not readily available. But we believe at the sheriff's office, and we've had many discussions about this as well, that the constitutional carry law has changed these things. So now you have
in the car.
Open carry, or you have concealed carry, and you cannot have open carry. In my opinion, you can't have open carry out in a grocery store. You can't be
right.
You know,
I can't be. I can't have my Glock on my hip
and walking right. around there.
You can. I can't.
Right. but you can't. But you can't have. But you can't have it concealed. Mm-hmm. You can be in a grocery store and concealed carry. Why is it different in a car? Now I understand that there's some officer safety aspects of this, but if you conceal a weapon in your car, we think you're okay.
Okay.
But you can't have it open. You can't have it on a dash. You can't have it, you know, in your hand. You can't have it, you know, in the same hand you can use a turn signal. You can't do that. But I think that if you hide it in your door well, or if you hide it in your center console, or if as long as it's not concealed, I think you're good to go.
As long as it's not open, yeah.
Yeah, my thought is this. Well, why would you have a gun in your car? To protect yourself from being carjacked, right?
Right.
And if you have to scurry around your glove compartment looking for the gun, what good is that going to do you? Because if someone comes up to my car when I'm off and they try to carjack me, I'm not playing hide and seek with my gun.
Hold on just a second. Yeah. Let me get it out of the snappered case inside of my glove box that's locked. Yeah, no,
So the
shorter answer is you can't conceal in public. You can't open carry in public. You can conceal carry in public. In your car, you can't have an openly visible gun, but you can't have a concealed gun. That's your interpretation.
Right. Yeah, because the constitutional carry law didn't necessarily address vehicles, address persons.
Right, so right. I know what Bob Johnson's kind of concerned
we
about.
We give the same, and I get it for law enforcement purposes. I've walked up to several cars, you know, not knowing what kind of guns they had on there. But to me, it covers both, and I want to give the, you know, the tie goes to the runner.
I got you.
With regards to that,
Sheriff Simmons, as always, a pleasure. Thank you for the information, keeping us safe, keeping us informed. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.